North Rock Podcast.
Good morning. Ooh, I'm on. I hope you guys are all doing well today. Oh, I am. I'm excited to be here with you guys, just talking to you about what the Lord is kind of having me on this little journey, learning about unity and unity of the Spirit. But before we dive into this message, let's pray, because I need to have my heart calmed, and it always helps me. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Father, we give you praise today that you are the giver of unity. Lord, we thank you for this place that you give us, that we can come together as your church, worship together, learn some new things that maybe we didn't know before. But, Lord, that we would give you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm sure we've all heard about or talked about unity, or maybe you haven't, maybe you just realize that it's around you. There's so many examples of unity in our midst, and they can be good and they can be bad. Unity, on a good note, my husband was showing me earlier this week a football play. And I enjoy football, but I don't understand the different dynamics of it. But he was showing me how, like, an offensive line works together to blow up in a hole for a running back to run through and score a touchdown. How beautiful is that? Or what about if we go to a movie and we watch all of the actors and the actresses come together to tell a beautiful story? How beautiful is that? And just take our worship team, for example, this morning. Wasn't that amazing? Oh my goodness. We see teams and groups play together all the time. Bad unity. I mean, I'm a mom of boys, and if you stick two boys together with some free time, unified, they can come up with all kinds of fun things to get involved in. I'm being sarcastic, of course, but one thing that I found this week, and I enjoy music, I love music, is a clip of an orchestra playing in unity. So let's watch that real quick. Isn't that amazing? You're probably wondering why I chose to play a 3-minute video of an orchestra. Just wanted you to catch the idea of playing together in unity. Did you catch it when the violins were all, the bows were going up and down at the same time? It sounded like one instrument playing together. It's just a beautiful thing when we have unity. Unity, by definition, is the state of being oneness, a whole or totality as combining all parts into one, just like we saw. Oneness of mind, feeling, etc., as among a number of persons, concord, harmony, or agreement. If we can have harmony together, unity can be a beautiful thing. I want to talk to you about unity of the Spirit, because there's, like I said, we can have good unity and bad unity. But what is unity of the Spirit? In this series, we're talking about one another's, all the one another's that we find in the Bible. In last week's sermon, Pastor Andrew talked about love, to love one another. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the unity of the Spirit with one another. But love really is the basis of where we're going to go. In Ephesians 4:3, Paul talks about the unity of the Spirit. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When we read this verse, it really becomes obvious, doesn't it? That we are not the creators of unity. God is the giver of the unity. He's asked us to keep the unity through the bond of peace. So what is the bond of peace? It's Jesus. He is our bond, our common bond together. I like how the Message version translates this verse. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. pour yourself out for each other. Be quick to mend fences. How quick are we to mend fences? I know, if I'm honest, I'm not great at it. And it's hard because we're around people all the time and we're all fallen. But that's where Jesus comes in. Do you know on the night that he was betrayed, the night before he was to go to the cross, he prayed for us. Such a profound prayer. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. "That all of them may be one. That all of us may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." There's a reason for unity. It's to show the world that Jesus was sent for us. So it's critically important that we do this. But if it's so important and it can be so beautiful, why do we struggle? Why do we struggle with this idea? Especially if we're walking with the Lord for any length of time. And we see so many divisions, even divisions in the church, big C, not just us. Jesus knew it was hard for us. And that's why also in this prayer, he prayed, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world." We're still in the world. "And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them." He prayed that the Father would protect us by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that we may be one. So we may be one as we are one. He prayed for protection for us. In the book John for Everyone, Tom Wright writes, "Jesus is very much aware that the disciples are at risk. The world, which hates them as it hated him, will threaten and abuse them. They don't belong to it, but they are to be sent into it. And they need protecting, and that's what this prayer is about." Jesus prayed that we would be protected. So if he prayed for us to be protected, then why is it so hard for us to have the unity of the Spirit? We're all created differently, right? We all have gifts and talents. We are so diverse. We are a diverse population. So many opinions, so many ideas, so many wanting to be right, so many different things. And when we try to put all of that into one without being submitted to the Lord, that's where division can happen. I'll just name off a few things. Being offended. How many times, have we carried an offense? I know when I first started to realize how obvious this is, it was the Lord starting to show me about it, and I started to count how many times I could possibly be offended in any one day. I lost count by the beginning of the afternoon, I think. I mean, there was just so many opportunities, and it not just offended for me. Like, I could pick up an offense for anyone, for my kids, my husband, my coworkers, anybody. So that was an interesting time. Still is an interesting time. Pride. Oh, my goodness, pride. Always having to be right. Selfishness. If we can be honest with each other, we all can be a little selfish, right? Holding on to grudges. These are all things that bring division. And when we hold on to a grudge, sometimes we gossip about it, which causes division all the more. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we can all go there. But isn't it great to realize that we have a Savior who knows what we're going through, forgives us, loves us, and gives us his grace and his peace? So not only did Jesus pray that we would be protected, but more specifically, he prayed that we would be protected from the evil one. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Why did Jesus pray for us to be protected from the evil one? We must realize that we have an enemy who would like nothing better than to bring division to the church. He is a liar and a thief, and will use whatever strategy he needs to accomplish this. From the Bible app devotional, I have a Bible app on my phone, and I sometimes will do a devotional. Tim Cameron wrote this, and I thought this was good, about being protected from the evil one in Jesus' prayer. I think I have it. Yep. We need to learn this lesson. We experience the Lord three ways: through our personal experience, through the word and prayer, and through our fellowship with others in our community. In all three realms, Satan is at war to destroy God's essential purpose, which is unity. The enemy schemes to create division in our fellowship with other believers because he understands that division will discredit the love of Christ. Disunity in the body of Christ will cause people to doubt if Jesus is who he really says he is, the Son of God. Much of Jesus' prayer in John 17 addresses this plea to the Father for the unity of the believers and with one another. So we see it's important. We see we have an enemy that wants to bring division. So how do we do this? How do we walk it out? I believe that we get our answer from the scriptures that we were just reading. I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, and to give you context about unity. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Holding each other up during those hard times. Bearing one another. And then our scripture. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We are all together, bonded together by Christ. He's given us the grace to be able to do the different things that he's asking us to do, but we have one central thing, and that is God. We have one faith. We have one Father. We have one Spirit. We've all been baptized into this. We have this to agree on. In Colossians, Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion. How many times do I fall short of being compassionate? Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience. Oh, wow, that's a whole other topic. This scripture is full of things that we could camp out on and talk about. These are just little things to think about. Bear with each other. Here it is again. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, how many times are we a little unforgiving? If we remember that Jesus loved us. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see it? And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as one member, members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. How blessed are we to be able to have a church that we can come into, to have a Bible on our app, on our phone, that we can read whenever we want to have worship music whenever we want to. How blessed are we? Let's be thankful. We are all different members of one body. In Ephesians 4, a little bit further on, it talks about the different members of the body and how Christ gives us different gifts and talents to work together to bring unity. so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The full measure of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Did you catch that? For the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and it builds itself up in love. That's our goal. We're built up in Christ. We all have our gifts, talents. We are different. Could you imagine if we had a place where we were all the same? How boring would that be? Is it going to bring conflict? Probably. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. But God is even so good as to give us how we go to people when we have a conflict. In Matthew 19, he talks about that. Because he knows. He knows us. Have you ever noticed how there are people around you that love to do what you don't like to do? I notice that all the time here at the church. There are things that need to be accomplished here, and I'll have somebody show up and say, hey, I would love to do that. I'd be like, oh, that's awesome, because I don't feel like cutting down that tree that's in the back, right? So we all have our gifts, and we all have our talents. Somebody might be really talented with a musical instrument. Somebody might be really talented with creativity. Or maybe drama. Maybe they like to act in front of people. Or maybe even good at math. I'm good at math. I like math. Not a lot of people do. But honestly, we are better together. We are just better together. The Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts and the church being one body with many parts in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to read it. I've already read a lot of scriptures. But basically, what it comes down to is that he has given us all gifts and talents. We are all members of the same body of Christ, which is he is the head. He tells us at the end, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Do you know that's the last verse in chapter 12? What is chapter 13? Oh, back. It's the love chapter. We know that, right? So, what binds us all together? Paul talks about all the different things that we have going on. What binds us together, the greater way, is love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move a mountain, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love pulls everything together. God is love. If I can have the worship team come back up. Now back to the orchestra, real quick. Because it was a 3-minute clip, and it did take some of your time. I'm hoping that you enjoyed it. But I think it's a great analogy of the body of Christ. Did you happen to recognize the conductor? Not recognize him, but pay attention to him? How he was pulling out the different parts? Here, come on, you come on. You do this part. And then when he all quieted him down at the end, did you catch that? It was beautiful. The conductor is an important part. So I got an article from a friend over the week, because she knew I was going to be talking about this. She read it. It was on the NPR website. And it asks the question, do orchestras really need conductors? I've asked that question. Because honestly, they have their sheet music right in front of them. They don't look like they're paying attention, right? So are they really that important? So they did an experiment. They put a light on the top of the conductor's baton, and then they put a light on the violinist's bows. And they had a camera, and they videoed the whole thing. And then they had computers that they analyzed the data that they compiled. And what did they find out? It wasn't the violins leading the conductor. It was the conductor leading the violins. So it is important. Who's our conductor in this body of faith, this unity of the Spirit? It's Jesus. Can you just see him? Come on. You can come out. Step out a little bit more over here. Oh, you need to play that part just a little louder. Oh, you need to quiet that down. Can you just see it? Such a beautiful example. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. He is our hope and he is our peace. And without him, we are nothing. Now I'm going to have the worship team just play some music. If I could have the lights down just a little bit. I want us to take a few minutes and pray. I want us to go and spend some time with our Creator. Not go, stay. You can stay seated. But I want us to just pray and ask him. And I'm going to kind of walk you through it. But let's seek him for each one of ourselves. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, would you reveal, help us to realize anything that we might be holding on to that we need to let go? Lord, if we have any unforgiveness in our hearts, for holding on to any grudges. Or maybe we said some things that we really wish we could take back, but we can't. Lord, please forgive us. I'll just take some time and pray. Seek the Lord. Lord, am I believing any lies from the enemy? Am I holding on to anything that's going to bring division to your church? Forgive me, Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you gave us this opportunity to come before you. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you are helping me to realize your truth in every situation. And we give him praise. We praise you, Lord. You are God. You are good. And you love us. You are so good. We're going to listen to the worship team play a song, and then I'll come back up and I'll close. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's really working on your heart for some things. We'll be available for prayer up here if you'd like to come up for more prayer. But I want to put out an invitation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know or haven't experienced the peace and the love of Jesus. Because he really does love you. He gave up everything so he could come and live on this earth and die a horrible death and be raised to life so that we could have life. So if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with us. We pray this every weekend. But for you, if this is your first time, I want to meet you afterwards because I'll have a gift for you. And I'd just like to pray with you at the end. Come on, let's all say it. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. It's in Jesus' name I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Hope you have a great week. Again, if you need prayer for anything, we'll be right up here, be able to pray for you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.